like whenever we're singing. And that has to do with the fact that I can't carry a tune in a bucket. God has blessed me with a great many spiritual gifts, but music is not one of them. So, without further ado, our Old Testament reading for this morning comes to us from the Psalter. It is Psalm 95. Feel free to follow along in your pew Bibles, which is page 528 in your Old Testament, and listen for the word of the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Here ends the Old Testament reading for this morning. Our New Testament reading for this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. Feel free to follow along in your pew Bibles and listen for the word of the Lord. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then, his disciples came, They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Now, I was taught in seminary, Pittsburgh Theological Seminary to be exact. I'm a twice-over graduate, something that I try not to boast of, but I am something of a professional student, much to my parents' chagrin. And one of my first lessons that I really took to heart was that of Karl Barth, the theologian, the systematic theologian who lived in the country of Germany during the rise of the Nazis and Hitler. And he talked about preaching with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Now, of course, print is a dying medium. We don't necessarily get all of our news from newspapers anymore, but that is crucial. Preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And I think also that that goes for all of you who don't preach. Believe, practice your faith with your Bible in one hand, your newspaper in the other. And of course, the fascinating and interesting circumstances of fate have thrown us together on the Sunday after the World Health Organization has declared COVID-19 and the coronavirus to be a pandemic. There has been slight consumer panic. There have been many jokes and memes compiled about going and stockpiling for 200 points in Jeopardy. What's the item of the week? Toilet paper. So you guys have been paying attention. Yes. Carts and carts full of toilet paper. And, you know, I'm sure that at some point, we as a society and a culture are probably going to look back on, you know, the images of carts of toilet paper and prepping, and we might laugh a little bit. But for the now, there's an air of uncertainty. It's almost as if we've never entered a circumstance quite like this. And I think with uncertainty, there also comes a modicum of fear. That we fear what we don't understand. We fear a little bit of the unknown. Now, I'm sure since you've been paying attention to the consumer panic and all the toilet paper flying off the shelves, and I think yesterday it was the liquor from the liquor store, but be that as it may, I'm sure you've also heard the phrases "flatten the curve" bandied about more often than you care to admit. Public places are being clamped down. Gatherings of over 100 people, we're putting the kibosh on all of that. Schools were called off in the states of Maryland and Ohio, And on Friday, Governor Wolf made the announcement that for 2 weeks, the kiddos were going to stay home in Pennsylvania. Now I'm looking point blank at the prospect of, heaven forbid, staying home and teaching my precocious 5-year-old, who gets himself into trouble all the time when he's bored. Now, if you are a little like me, and I'm going to go out on a limb and suspect that you are, I would suspect that you're sitting in the pews this morning in order to recapture a tiny slice of normalcy amidst all of the strangeness, the unknown, and even a little bit of the fear. Normalcy. We come to Sunday to worship. We come before the Lord on the Sabbath day because that's what we do. That's who we are. And I think maybe it means a little bit more to us on days like today to have that, to be able to grasp on to that ritual. Now listen, I'm going to assure you of something. Any fear that you have is valid. You are completely well within your rights to emote in that way. It's okay to be afraid of the unknown and what the immediate future will bring. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to feel a little sad and a little tired from the news cycle, from the seeming unrelenting sadness of what's going on. Sometimes it can be hard to be a Christian in the midst of that. However, onto the stage walks Jesus. And the lectionary passage for today is one that I suspect we have all heard because I think it comes up every 3 years like clockwork in the lectionary. What's it the story of? Give it a title. Jesus and the... louder. Samaritan woman, right? Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus, who could not be farther away in every single social strata from the Samaritan woman. Jesus, who's given a name. After all, he's the central character. He's the protagonist of the New Testament. And the Samaritan woman, who is unnamed. She's only given 2 words to describe her. She's given her race, and she's given her sex as well. Jesus, who's a rabbi, who's influential, who has followers, who's the center point of a great big movement in first century Palestine. And he comes to the woman, and he says, "Give me a drink." And she's taken aback because she asks, "Who are you to ask me to give you a drink?" Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. They were like oil and water. And that was because they were related by blood a few generations back. But the Samaritans worshipped God on the mountain when their great big family tree diverged, and the Jews worshipped God at the temple in Jerusalem. So there were not only racial differences, there were differences of religion as well. And Jesus goes into this great, big, long, teachable moment. That's the thing that I love about Jesus, is he never gives you a straight answer, ever. He teaches in the rabbinic style. He answers questions with questions. And he starts talking to her about living water, and eternity, and eternal life. He points out correctly that she's had 5 husbands. The man that she's with right now is not her husband. And you know, all too often we get hung up on what's going on there. But I like to think that at that moment, Jesus really just sees her for who she is, a human being, same as him, suffering as well. And Jesus just asks her to follow. That's what he does. When he's teaching, he's asking you to follow. And it's amazing. He meets her where she is, at this well that they have in common. Maybe the only thing that they have in common is that they claim Jacob as an ancestor. And he puts to rest any sort of fear that she would possibly have of all of that cultural difference, all of that religious difference, all of that racial difference. He meets her where she is. And I think that Jesus meets all of us where we are. Now, we're not first century Palestinians, we're not Jews, we're not Samaritans. However, we have been granted and graced the more than 2,000 year history, the great big tapestry woven end to end of the church. We join our voices every single week, God willing, with apostles, prophets, and martyrs. And we proclaim that God is Lord and that Jesus is King. That there is that living water in store for us. And you know, I think that that normalcy that we're all seeking right now can be found right there. It's the promise of something greater. It's the promise that what you're going through right now is not how it's always going to be. That anything that you suffer from right now is temporary. And that the joy that comes of being a child of God, that is permanent. That eternal water, that living water, that eternal life, that is what is in store for all of us. That's our great hope. That is our normalcy. Now, how many of you have ever seen Star Wars? Raise your hand if you have. Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Again, I work in a movie theater. I can't really avoid working a Star Wars reference into any of my sermons. Now, in the second Star Wars movie, Yoda, the little green puppet Jedi Master, talks to Luke Skywalker about how everything is spiritual in the Force, that you're more than just this crude matter. You're more than just flesh and blood. And that's your great comfort. Your great comfort's in the resurrection. Your great comfort is in eternal life. Your great comfort is in the healer. That what you're going through physically, that what you're going through spiritually or emotionally, anything that you suffer from, any ailment you have right now, that is not the end of the story. The end of the story is grace piled upon grace piled upon grace, resurrection and eternal life. Jesus is talking right here about looking forward to the great culmination when all of creation will be brought full circle, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God will wipe away every single tear and every single eye. So, we're in a time of uncertainty. I mean, you guys don't even know if you'll be here next week. I don't know if I'm going to be with you next week in all of this COVID-19 gobbledygook. Maybe we'll all be at home next week looking through those sermon archives. Maybe, if you're like me, you'll be looking through Netflix, but I won't judge you. Just make sure that you're looking for some of the spiritual movies. Normalcy is all relative. What we have going on right now is not normal. But what we believe in, what we profess, when we put our feet forward, when we walk through these church doors, and as we leave, as we profess the great love of the healer to bind up all wounds and to grant living water and eternal life. That's the God that you worship. That's the God to whom you belong. And don't you ever forget it. And to God be the glory forever and ever. And all of God's children did say, Amen.